Among the 43 states that have a publicly funded preschool program, Hawaii ranks last with less than 5% of four-year-olds enrolled. That's according to a 2017 report from the National Institute for Early Education Research. On Wednesday this week, Governor David Ige signed a plan that aims to expand access to public pre-K. HPR's Ryan Finnerty tells us more about the governor's plan for early childhood education.
First and foremost, we must create a universal statewide high-quality public preschool system that will give every child in Hawaii a head start on learning.
In his State of the State address, Governor Ige laid out his goal for a broad expansion of the state's public pre-K program. On Wednesday, he signed a plan that aims to make it a reality.
The plan includes strategies and priorities that both provide inspiration and structure to our efforts over the next several years. The plan sets forth the foundation for a statewide early childhood system that considers our children's overall health and well-being, safety, family partnerships, early care, and learning.
The plan covers more than just publicly funded pre-K, but includes a big expansion of that program.
Currently, within the Executive Office on Early Learning public pre-K program, we have the capacity to serve 520 students.
That's Lauren Moriguchi, head of the Governor's Executive Office on Early Learning. So is 520 a lot? Not when you look at the broader numbers.
There are about 18,500 four-year-olds in Hawaii, and of that number, about 45% of the four-year-old population is in a private setting. 60% of all four-year-olds are attending some type of early childhood setting.
Governor Ige's plan aims to get 90% of Hawaii's four-year-olds enrolled in a pre-K program within 10 years. This will be accomplished by expanding capacity in the public pre-K program to supplement the existing private schools. Reaching that 90% goal means that in 10 years, the state will be providing pre-K for almost 7,000 children. That's going to require building a lot more classrooms.
Currently, we're looking for existing space on DOE campuses because we recognize that it's very costly to add portables onto school campuses. So in order to reduce the cost, we're looking at what's currently available. And we're working in partnership with Department of Education to identify spaces on DOE campuses at this time. We will be continuing to work with them in the future to identify potential spaces where schools may be interested in having a building built on their campus for pre-K or even additional portables placed on their campuses, but we're not there right now.
In his address to lawmakers, Governor Ige said that more than 300 pre-K classrooms would need to be added. How he plans to pay for them was less clear.
This is a long-term goal, but we don't have to wait until we have the funding for all of it. We can start to fill this significant gap in our education system by being smart about how we use existing space.
Wherever the money comes from, adding an extra 7,000 students won't come cheap. Consider the cost of private pre-K, which we just heard is how most kids in Hawaii get their education. Robin Chun is the head of the University of Hawaii's Early Childhood Education Graduate Program.
Preschool, for most parents, is really, really expensive. Sometimes it's more of their monthly income than paying for a kid in college.
So what are parents and taxpayers getting for that investment? Both Chun and Lauren Moriguchi say the benefits can be wide-ranging.
Kids finishing school, not dropping out, less pregnancy, kids going on to college.
What we see from high-quality pre-K programs is an increased average salary over time, more students staying in the system and graduating from high school, lower rates of special education and remedial programs, and lower crime rates.
But simply expanding access to pre-kindergarten education may not guarantee those lingering benefits.
Now what you're seeing in the research is more nuanced question asked. It's not just putting money into expansion, but for who, under what conditions, and what makes for the kind of high quality and continuous investment throughout that birth through five period, especially if you look from birth through three, you know, that's a time when the brain is developing, and especially kids who are in more vulnerable situations, poverty, or they're experiencing a lot of toxic stress in their lives, getting the support, not just for the kids, but their families. It actually changes the architecture of how the brain is developing and has health impacts, too, over the long haul.
Those lessons have come from other states that rushed to expand pre-K access. Lauren Moriguchi says an improperly structured program can actually have a negative effect.
When states have expanded quickly without having the infrastructure in place, including having a well-prepared and well-supported workforce, the quality of those programs decreased significantly. And what that means for young children and families is that they don't receive the type of program that young children should be having access to, which over the long run can be detrimental to young children. When you look at the target population of at-risk and underserved students that we're trying to serve through our programs, these are children and families who may have experienced trauma in their lives. And in putting them in a classroom where the teacher may not have the expertise in early learning or any coursework in early childhood development, what we've seen are programs which just modify a kindergarten curriculum, which is not necessarily developmentally appropriate because they expect children to be sitting at desks and in chairs all day or for long periods of time. And when that happens, we see high behavior incidents occur where a lot of these teachers have either referred these children for special education, which sends them down the wrong trajectory. There's also been high instances of suspension and expulsion. Nationwide, the rates of suspension and expulsion in public pre-K programs are 3 times higher than that of K to 12. So this is something that we don't want to see happen in our state, which we can learn from other states which have come before us.
Finding those qualified experts may prove a challenge. Hawaii is already experiencing a shortage of public school teachers, particularly in specialty areas like special education. But Governor Ige didn't seem worried.
The phasing in of our public preschools will give us the time to ensure that we have well-qualified preschool teachers to staff these classes.
Hawaii's current public pre-K program already gives preference to at-risk populations like the children of low earners, special education students, and those speaking English as a second language. I'm Ryan Finnerty for The Conversation.
You can find a copy of the Early Childhood Education State Plan posted with this story on hawaiipublicradio.org. We also want to hear about your experiences for paying for pre-K. Call our talkback line and tell us about it. That number, 808-792-8217. You can also email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. You're listening to The Conversation. I'm Catherine Cruz.